All right, everybody, we are now live. Hi, folks, this is Theron Hall, and I'm here with Andrew Ulmer, and he's been a frequent guest on the program. We are broadcasting from what I like to call the Watterson Heights studio, which is my house, basically, it's all it is. And we're going to talk about a subject today that I think everybody can relate to, right, at some point in their life, if not frequently in their life, and that's encouragement. And then we talk about encouragement, it's not just encouragement in the broadest sense. We're going to talk specifically about encouragement as being part of the body. As part of Christ's body, we have reason to be encouraged, okay? And we have so many reasons to be encouraged, of course. But this, I think that particular emphasis will be a real encouragement to us as we look at God's Word and we just let the Bible speak. So, Andrew, you can take it away.
All right. Well, thanks for inviting me to be part of the Watterson Heights facilities here.
You don't let you're walking distance from here.
Yeah. But I, for my own benefit, I came up and just did a real quick Google search for a general definition just
right.
For I like to know the meaning of words, even though that I may already know.
There's a name for people that love words. You remember what it is?
A philolog?
There's something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like word gurus or people that are just obsessed with words, right? There's a name for that.
But
maybe word nerd.
Yeah.
Word nerd.
But I find it beneficial just for me personally to look up the meaning of a word, even though I might already have conceptually what it means. And I looked up encouragement, and it said the action of giving someone support, confidence, or hope.
Oh, yeah, right. The action, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, so encouragement is a verb, and so we're doing something. And I may have not actually conceptually thought about it like that. But and hopefully this gives me a deeper appreciation. Of course, when we turn to God's Word, we get all the appreciation, hopefully, that we'll ever need.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly.
And I thought that our key passage that we'll be looking at, and if you're listening or you're actually watching us, if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that is what our main passage that we will be focusing in on, and we will be looking at verses 14 through 26. And I'll have you, Theron, if you would like to care to read that.
I could probably do that. Do you mind if I go back to 12? Is that okay?
If you would like to.
Sure, I think
sure.
I might do. And how far should I take it?
Through 26.
26, and okay. Yeah, I like to. 12, I think, 12 and 13 give us a little bit of context, I think. So. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. And that's that happens to be ESV, by the way.
So all right.
Folks happen to be ESV readers. So,
well, thank you for reading that. And so I want to pick your brain.
Good
not,
luck.
Not literally.
Yeah, good luck with that.
All right.
You're not going to get very far. I just promise that.
But do you ever think that some people can get discouraged? They can maybe have the thoughts, well, I'm not a eloquent speaker.
Yeah.
I can't do with what the preacher does. That's not something that I'm very good at. I'm not able to be that outgoing of an individual.
Right, right. Yep.
What
yeah,
would you
sure.
say to someone that may be struggling with that and maybe looking at this passage? How can that maybe be an encouragement to them?
Oh, these passages, right?
Yeah.
How do these passages? Yeah, exactly. Well, I think the message is clear, right? So you may not have the role of the eloquent speaker. You may not be the mouthpiece. You may not be the person who says eloquent prayers. You know, and if you're a woman, that would not be a role other than with other women that you would have that role. And so someone could feel like, well, I'm just not much of anybody, right? I don't really matter. I don't make much difference. I'm just there. And what this is clearly saying is there's no such thing as just being there, just being a fill in the blank, because we are all part of the same body. We're all members of Christ. And we have that unity and we have that value because we are Christ's body present in the world today. We are his living body, his living representation of himself here on this side of eternity. And every piece of that body, every membrane, every organ, every piece you can divide is part of that one body. And I think, again, going back to those first two verses, being part of what body? The body of Christ. Because we have been adopted, right, by God. We've been born into a new life because we have been buried with Christ in baptism. And we come into a new life. And now we are part of Christ's body. And we always have value. Now, I think one way, just kind of to focus on a group that could really feel this way, I think, would be the homebound, right? They just can't get to services. They can't participate in worship. It would be really easy for them to feel disconnected. And in a way they are, but I think we have an extra requirement, obligation as it were, as members of the body to go to them and make sure they understand that they're still a cherished part of the body, even if their physical body may be racked with problems and issues that prevents them from being physically with us when we worship. They're still part of Christ's body. And I think just thinking about that, we need to remember those folks and reach out to them and let them know, you know what, we're all Christ's body. We're all one family. And you're important, even if your health doesn't allow you to be with us in worship.
Well, I appreciate you pointing those things out. And while you were speaking, I was thinking about it's so important to express appreciation for those that mm-hmm. do what might be considered the little things. The people that take care of the grounds, that clean up the building.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be so easily maybe overlooked.
Yeah.
I know where I worship, there's people that sign up and volunteer to do those tasks. And it's a wonderful thing that they will take time out of their normal schedules to come and put in that time and effort.
Mm-hmm.
And so that the facilities there will be presentable, cleaned, welcoming
mm-hmm.
to
mm-hmm.
anyone that might hopefully come and visit and hear the word of God.
Right.
And I think it's so vital that, that's part of what I was thinking about in this passage, that you don't have to be up in the front or one having to be in, I hate to use the word spotlight, but
that's kind of true though. Yeah.
But being seen, there's so many people in the background that are not seen, so to speak. But God sees them, and He knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's people that that are teaching the children, educating them. There's so much of benefit there. Mm-hmm. And they take their time out of their week to prepare lessons. They may not be preaching the lesson. I know that there's a lot of emphasis on what the preacher does, and he does do a lot of work. But mm-hmm. so many mm-hmm. people, everybody has a role. Everybody has a place. I am so grateful that when you were talking about the people that are shut in,
the people that
take the time to make phone calls to those individuals, mm-hmm. they will take time out of their busy weeks to go in, make a visit with them, or to make the necessary attempts to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And people that go and check up on individuals that may be in the hospital and having procedures done.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many things that people do, and that is so encouraging to people that may not have those opportunities to do that.
Right.
And it can encourage someone, you know what, I've been meaning to do that. I've been meaning to go and visit people. And here I'm seeing someone that does it so often. Hey, maybe I can ask that person if they could somehow, would it be okay for me to tag along?
Yep,
and they
yep,
can
yep.
maybe make it less uncomfortable because I'm maybe not good at that type of situation.
That's food for thought. Yeah, sure.
Because there's so many gifts that people have. Each person, I believe, that has been blessed with abilities that maybe they're not aware of. Do you think that sometimes we do not cultivate enough the gifts that we've been given that we shortchange ourselves? Do you think that's a possibility?
Oh, it's absolutely a possibility. And I mean, it's certainly a reality. And going back to the parable of the talents, the Lord expects us not to go beyond the talents we've been given, but He does expect us to use the talents that we have. And so, and honestly, and again, on the topic of encouragement, I want to not look at that as, you better be doing your part, buddy. I think the way to view that, especially in the light of encouragement, is you have the opportunity. God wants you to take advantage of those opportunities to reach out and encourage others, okay? And so you can do that. We can all do that. And and certainly visiting shut-ins is one way to do that. But we have opportunities all the time to try to encourage people. I mentioned earlier that one of the things I like to do, and I'm not bragging, it's just, mm-hmm. you know, it's something other people can do as well, is we have a member of our church. I love him dearly, but his job is he is an on-highway truck driver, and he's away a lot. And I will just text him and just say, hey, brother, how you doing? I just want you to know I'm thinking of you. I know you couldn't be here Wednesday night. I just want you to know we're still thinking about you. And it's not like I'm trying to check off boxes. I assure you, I love the man, and I really, I'm reaching out because I really care. And I think he knows that. He senses that. And I think it's a big form of encouragement. And, you know, he seems to be adjusting to it, but personally, I think all those many, many, many hours on the road by yourself, to me, that would be a tough grind. I would feel lonesome. I really would feel lonesome and separated by that personally. But he seems to be okay with it. But I know he still appreciates that encouragement. I only offer that as just an example of one of the many things you can do. Can you do more? Yeah, if you can, if you got talents, if you can. I know people who they've bent over backwards to like fix walls and fix patios. And they're just guys that you know to, and you know, you need something. They've got the tools. They got the time. They're going to come. And if they don't have the time, they're going to make it. And I even know some of those individuals and I'll actually discover that, you know what? This time they took to help this one person actually kind of put them in a bind, but they were willing, they were ready to do it because they felt that was something that needed to be done. And that's very encouraging. Now look, see, it's working. Look, we're getting comments, and they're actually posting on the video. So
okay,
we do. Now, one thing I'm finding a little tricky just for folks watching is this setup where we're away from the computer makes it a little harder to actually respond to comments, but we're seeing them really well. So we can respond live to anything you post, and I appreciate the comments. We do shortchange our own capabilities. I think I know who's posting this. That's our buddy out there. God's plans for us are much bigger than we have for ourselves. That's something to think about.
Mm.
The person I think posted that could attest to that, right? Because
yeah.
He's if the person posted that as the person I think they are, then they're the person that kind of got us all started in this, right? And because one person said, you know what, I'm preaching, I'm encouraging folks, wouldn't it be great to have a radio program? And that was what started. And we're almost at 2 years now we've been at this.
Wow.
Started as a radio program. Started picking up the Facebook Live. Over time, things shifted, and it looks like there's actually a lot more opportunities to use the Facebook Live format. But I'm still anxious. We still want to stay on the radio, too. So we want to keep this a radio program as well. That's something we still want to work on. So it's not just us guys here. So I appreciate, of course, the feedback. And love you, Brother Scott. Thanks for the comment. I'm pretty sure that was you. I'm just going to say. Anyway, I love Scott, so I love to give him more time anytime I can.
Yeah,
I hear you. He's supposed to be on some kind of a date. He shouldn't be watching us, so he can watch us later. Get the date out of the way.
All right.
Enjoy that date, and I hope you enjoy it immensely. My wife has to work, unfortunately, which is why we did this in the afternoon, because she's at work right now. So,
well, you had mentioned about texting the individual that is – has to drive a truck and may not be able to worship, and they can feel disconnected.
And
it made me think about people that can be inside the building, in the pews, and still can be very much disconnected.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
No question.
Yeah. And I've been able to kind of, and this might be me just reading into things too much and whatever, but when there's spaces in between that they could be sitting on one side, and they may just be comfortable sitting in a certain area.
Right, whatever.
I see them, and they may be feeling so alone. That goes straight to my mind. Are they, do they feel lonely?
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to be able to say, what can I do to hopefully make them feel welcomed?
Do they feel welcomed when they're here? Right, right.
Now, they may or may not be a member of the body of Christ. But those that are a body or a member of the body of Christ, do they still feel disconnected? And I still wonder, do they feel welcomed? What's going on in their lives?
Yeah.
And that is something I know that I'm sure that we all maybe struggle with at some point, connecting with others in the best way we can.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I know that each of us have our own comfort zones of, I call myself an introvert, but desperately wants to be extroverted. I'm telling you that there's a tug of war there.
Yeah.
Because I push myself, or my goal is to try to, especially with people that come in that are visitors, I want to be able to say, hello, I'm so grateful that you're able to worship with us this morning.
Sure, you're visiting with us. Absolutely.
But I'm also concerned about, of course, those people that are here week in, week out, that I'm not sure about.
Mm-hmm.
And that tells me that maybe I'm not connected with them as much as I need to be.
Right.
Any thoughts?
Right. Well, and you hit on a point there, because some, you know, human interaction is not always an easy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we can feel awkward. And you know, to your point, I mean, you're talking about, can you feel disconnected when you're sitting there in the pews? I've heard it said that the loneliest place is in a crowd. And I think that's true. Now, if you will forgive me, I always thought this story would probably find an application somewhere. And I think I just realized it. If you'll forgive me, this will stretch my ability to tell a story. Let's see if I can do this and do a good job. But last summer, I had the opportunity to spend a week in Seoul, Korea. Okay. That was for my job. I'm currently working in a position where it's a requirement that we go support activities that occur literally around the world. I was in Paris early in the year, about a year ago, and then last summer I was in Seoul. I may have some other travel to Europe this year, actually. And that feeling of being lost and disconnected to the crowd is very real when you're in a culture that you don't know if you can even communicate with anybody. And the ability to speak English is not very good there. There's some people will speak a little bit of English. A lot of the cashiers can speak some, but you can tell it's pretty weak. And so I did something I had never done before. This was my big like world traveler moment. I was going to go on the Seoul subway by myself and get back to the hotel because the team was going to go off and do something else. And I just kind of needed to get back because I needed to get up the next morning to travel home. And I just kind of thought, you know, I need to do this. I've done this in Paris. I've done it now in Seoul. I can do this. And so I got my token. I knew the station I needed to get to. But what I did not realize is that the way the subway works, and this is kind of logical, you got subways going one direction on this track. You got subways coming the other direction, so you can go either direction you need to go. But what I thought would happen is you go through the turnstiles, you go down, and I think this is how Paris worked. You go down, and then you go to either side you need to go to. What I didn't realize is that the turnstiles, when you go through them, you're going one direction or the other. So once you get through the turnstile, you're going this way, or you go to the turnstile, you're going this way. But if you want to go the other way, you went to the wrong turnstile. And so what I did is I went through the turnstile, I used my token, I went down and I looked at the map of all these different stations you could go to from there. And I said, ain't none of those the one I need to go to. What am I doing? And so I'm standing there looking at it, surrounded by people that don't speak English. And I was generally baffled and confused. And it's kind of like, and this really hits home because we can feel like that. You don't have to be in a foreign country where they don't speak your language to have that feeling of being lost and disconnected, even in a crowd. That's where this really connected for me is that experience I had, you don't have to be in Seoul, Korea to feel that way. Now, thankfully, and this is probably where it's home for us. Uh-huh. I was standing there and I was genuinely baffled and I probably looked it because a young gal came up and she said, in good English, may I help you? And I said, yes, please. Not with that much emphasis, but I definitely needed help. And I just explained, okay, so I'm trying to get to Gangnam. I'm trying to get back to the COEX, which is where we were staying. Everybody knows what that is. It's in Gangnam. And she's like, oh, okay, you need to go to the other side. And she walked me up to the turnstile. And we're like, I just went through that turnstile. How am I allowed to get back over? And she goes, oh, look, here, you just go here. And she pushed this button and this extra gate opened. And she walked me through. And she took me to the other side and said, you need to go on this one. And she opened it and she sent me on my way. And I, to this day, I think I did not thank her enough. That sensation of I was really in trouble because I don't know what I would have done without her to step in and help me. But she's really saved me that day. I would have eventually had to figure something out, right? I just hope I wouldn't end up on the other side of Seoul before I figured out how I got back. But I did eventually get back thanks to her, right? And the reason I tell that story is not because, hey, look at this cool stuff I've gotten to do. It's, I think that's a fair analogy for how we can feel now. You can be sitting in the pew and you can still feel like, and especially if you're not a Christian, if you're not already a member of the body, you go and you sit amongst a bunch of people who are Christians, but you really don't, the language is different. The way they communicate is different. It's like, these people are strange. It can feel like another world. And we need to be like that young gal and step in and say, may I help you? How can I help you? And it doesn't have to be a stranger. It could be just anybody who maybe feels isolated. They don't feel connected with the Christ body or their local church family. But we can reach out. We can be that person and reach out and bring them and engage them and be there to help them.
I know that we're really working on that now at our congregation, mm-hmm, reaching out to those that come and visit, trying to connect with them during the week. Maybe if they have questions about what they saw, if they were there for visiting, and maybe they're not, as you indicated, part of the body. That I thought that a good idea, well, for me, is texting or emailing or trying to see if asking them a question. Is there anything that we do here? Or is there, do you have any questions for us? That's what we're trying to work on. One of our deacons is spearheading this, and we're trying to figure out how we could better connect with people that come and visit us. But if I may,
please do.
You gave your this story, and I think it's a perfect segue. To something else that I think that we may have a real difficult time feeling encouragement, and that is when we share or attempt to share the gospel with. And the way I go about this is there's a perfect passage that I try to keep in mind, and I don't always do a good job, is Isaiah 55, verse 11. And Isaiah 55, verse 11 says, "So will my word be which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." So some people might have the verses where my word will not return void. And so I think that it sometimes when we, when we try to share the gospel with somebody, we share the good news, or we try to reach out to somebody and then we get rejected. We might feel, okay, well, I failed. But the thing is, I read a book a long time ago that says that whenever we share, where doesn't matter what their response is, as long as we shared it, it's a win. No matter if they accept it, reject it, or we just may not know. But it's always a win.
It may bear fruit later. We don't
know. That's right.
Yeah, we don't know.
We may never see in our lifetime what it might have done in their lives. And I think that it's so powerful. That it's always a win for the kingdom. And sometimes it could be just handing somebody a card, if you have a church card with the address or whatever. And saying, "Hey, if you'd like to stop by sometime, we'd love to see you," or something to that effect. I think that is a powerful tool. Things that we can do to invite people, or for instance, I know that what has been a great benefit from my attempts at evangelism is we got these little I call them like Bible tracks or whatever, just got a little bit of information, got some Bible verses, and if I'm having a conversation and I feel comfortable with that person, I'm just saying, "I got some important information for you." It's sort of like that woman did for you. You were lost,
I was in need.
Stranded.
I was.
And you needed desperate direction.
I needed somebody to guide
to get
me.
You to where you needed to go.
And I
feel as if sometimes we think that we lack or feel as if we have no tools whatsoever. And those are just a couple tools that I know that I have been blessed with to kind of help me steer, hopefully, people. And I may never know. What we're doing right now is another perfect example of a perfect tool. When we have these programs and then we share it on our Facebook, our own personal Facebook page, and we have people that I know personally, for me, I know I have lots of individuals that probably that are Facebook friends that know nothing about the body of Christ, whether they have made that choice or not. And then my hope is that maybe someday they'll be interested in taking a look at what has been posted, and maybe they'll comment back and says, "Hey, can I have a conversation about this with you?"
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
Well, I mean, to the topic of encouragement specifically, you know, we're talking about how you encourage somebody to engage in the gospel. But I mean, ultimately, our source of encouragement, our source of joy, is the good news.
Mm-hmm.
It is the love that God demonstrated for all mankind, that he surrendered his own son, that his son entered his own creation, right, to be subjugated to our sin, to become our sacrifice. And so we have that encouragement. That's the core of all of our encouragement. And that is a way that we can encourage and reach out to others, not just each other, right? Because that is our ultimate source of encouragement, but it is a way that we can encourage others to come and seek, right? To come and seek, well, why are these people joyful? Why are they so peculiar? Why are they so strange? And yet there's something about them. Why are they encouraged, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if you're dealing with discouragement, because I know this language can be alienating if you're currently feeling discouraged. And we're not forgetting you, because that's all part of this picture, right? We understand that it's all one source, but we can still be discouraged. But again, as we are encouraged, we encourage one another, and we reach out and encourage others to come and engage in that conversation about the gospel.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that there is lots of passages about God always being there. There's passages that really for any time I'm feeling any type of feeling,
yeah,
there's going to be some passage I can go to that I can grab a hold of.
Yeah.
And I know sometimes it can be such a trying time to want to pick up this book. I know that nowadays.
Well, right. Yeah. My brain's filled with anxiety and I can't concentrate, and I can barely sit down and read anything, let alone try to concentrate on God's word, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that kind of a feeling.
Yeah, and just you mentioned anxiety, and I can be struck by that. I know, I'm sure that there are lots of people.
So you've never dealt with anxiety.
Oh, no.
Never. Andrew's alien to the concept of anxiety.
But there are passages I can go to, and sometimes I feel as if, no, I can handle it on my own. No, that's not the way I should be thinking. I should be thinking, okay, where can I find a source or the source to help me with my anxieties? For instance, I know in 1 Peter 5, it talks about casting all anxieties upon him because he cares.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And I know that in Philippians 4, Paul writes about, do not be anxious about anything. And I'm like saying, are you kidding me? Do not be anxious about anything. But he's
I can't make my rent.
Yes. And that can be so foreign nowadays in our culture.
Yeah.
How can I not be anxious about what's going on? Yeah. And I forget, okay, what's going on with me today? Do I have enough?
Yeah.
Do I have God? That should be the ultimate thing. If I have God, then I have enough.
Yeah.
And I do like it when let's go to Philippians 4.
Oh, please. Yeah.
Yeah. Because
I love Philippians. That's just a great. I mean, that's kind of like the feel good story, right? Philippians.
Yeah.
There's too many letters that Paul writes that said, you know, you guys are doing great. Just keep it up. And maybe even do better instead of, hey, folks, I've heard some reports about y'all. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it. But Philippians is like, and say, which chapter?
Four.
Okay.
Yeah, because we were talking about being anxious. And there's just a handful of verses, just three that I had wrote down that I thought that kind of just hit home. And I think that maybe even somebody that may not be well-versed in Scripture, maybe even have heard some of these passages that, and they might ring a bell. So you want to read verses 6 and 7?
Sure.
And then I'll read verse 13.
Okay. So do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
And then verse 13, I think this one may be where a lot of people might be familiar with. I can do all things through him who strengthens me.
I
know that that's somewhat of potentially one of those verses that could be stuck on a back of a bumper of a vehicle. But
living it.
Yeah.
A little tougher.
There's so many passages that we can take for granted, but some of these have, when I sit down and just allow them to soak in, and just allow them to soak in.
Right.
Sometimes that could be the most difficult thing, to take the time to allow just the word kind of just speak for itself.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, David talks about meditating on God's word. And I love the way, like Dan talked about it, we preached on the topic. He said, you know, meditate has this connotation that seems almost mystical. But in practice, it's very simplistic. It's meditate means to reflect on it, to think about it. And so I know for me, I mentioned I travel and I got all kinds of crazy stuff. And sometimes I get stuck working long hours, and I've got four kids, three at home still. So I got a lot going on. But I tell you, when I can stop and just reflect on God's word and try to push that other stuff away, and I try to turn off that clock, right? Because a lot of times you're like, I'm on the clock. I need to be someplace. I need to finish this so I can go. And I try to say, no, I'm not going to think about that. It's just me and God's word, and we're going to spend some time together. I find that to be probably, well, I don't think there's much probably about it. I think it's the most encouraging thing I can do. Just let it speak, right? Just let the Bible speak and let it do its thing. You know, let it enrich me. Let it allow me to grow. Let it encourage me. Let it challenge me, and it'll do that. But it, when we read God's word, it's helping us to be molded into Christ's image and allow us to be, of all things, encouraged, right? Because Christ could endure anything, including the cross, right? Just a quick thought. I'll throw this out there. I hope this doesn't derail us, but one of the things I've been thinking about recently, and I've really been trying to put it increasingly into practice, is if we truly believe that the most important thing in this life is not this life, it's making sure that we are with God in an eternity after this life, why do we act like that's not true so much of the time, right? Why do we act like getting the best car, paying the next bill, as important as that is, why do we pretend like that's everything when in the end it's really nothing? And so it can encourage us. One of the things that encourages us is to get that perspective, right? And to the point of, you know, meditating on God's word, if we're in God's word and reflecting on, allowing it to mold our thinking and mold our hearts, then that's where our focus becomes. And hey, we still got to pay the bills. It even says in scripture that, you know, we have responsibilities and we need to fulfill them, right? We have responsibilities on this side of eternity, and you're not going to just throw up your hands and quit because they were doing that. He told them that's wrong. But at the same time, we need to not be anxious about the things of this world because our treasure is not here. It's in eternity. And that's a great source of encouragement.
Yeah, again, what you were talking about kind of segued into a passage
Go for it.
As John,
it's almost
chapter,
like it's planned.
Yes,
which it's not.
But John chapter 14, and this is shortly before Jesus is actually going to be taken away and led away.
Right. Yes.
But this could, initially it was for disciples, but this does apply to us as well.
And this
should be a mindset that we have.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it is one that is so difficult because being focused and worrying about the here and the now overtakes us, I believe. But in John, just starting in verse 1, and he was telling his disciples, and we can turn and apply this to us. It says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. Now, I don't know about you, that does give me encouragement.
Oh, yeah, right, exactly.
Because Scripture tells me that God does not lie.
Right.
And we should trust on the promises of God's Word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But one thing kind of getting back to what you were just talking about, really meditating on God's Word, and I think it is so important to make a plan and have some sort of structure on a day-to-day saying, look, this has got to be a priority.
Yeah.
I've got to sit down and spend time with God's Word. Otherwise, I don't know about you, but if I kind of don't spend time in God's Word, it feels as if something is missing.
Yeah, I mean that's true. Yeah, sure.
And I don't know about you, but if I do take time to pray about what I'm reading, or think about what I'm reading instead of just, as you indicated earlier, I've been guilty about this. Oh, I've got a list of things I got to do today, and okay, reading the Bible, praying to God.
Oh, yeah, okay, I'm ready. Yes, check that off.
I can put.
You remember anything you read? I think maybe.
Yeah, there was a words on the page.
Yeah, right. But it didn't. Right.
It did not connect.
Right. You didn't really meditate on it. You just blew through it.
Yes.
Yeah. And you can check off the box, right?
Yes. I clearly did what the list of things, the right. grocery list of things that I've
needed to do. Spiritual things I needed to do today.
And so I'm good.
Yeah.
But I think that is a great encouragement that on a day-to-day basis is what is needful.
Well, I think the analogy of the body needs nutrition right, to survive and to grow and to thrive, and our spiritual body, our spiritual selves needs to be fed. Right now, it can be fed by edification and mutual encouragement, but ultimately, the most authoritative and the most pure form of that nutrition is God's Word, because it was delivered to us so we have His truth and His love. Now, Mr. Scott Mitchell himself has weighed in. Hello, Scott. I thought he was on some date. Maybe it's later. We focus so much on the physical.
Mm.
Jesus spent His time trying to get folks to think in the spiritual, which is very true, right? It's like Scott, you're stealing my thunder here. But yes, I mean, we need to feed ourselves spiritually, and we need to be reminded how important that is. What you got? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that, of course, you hit it home that I do need to take care of my spiritual well-being, and that's not just a Sunday thing, or a Sunday and Wednesday thing, or one or the other.
It's
a day-to-day,
right.
Task, and sometimes it's very much, I will admit, a battle sometimes.
Yeah.
Right, because here I've got my own personal agenda, or things that, well, I think that, well, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. As you indicated, there are bills to be paid, all things that are just going around, and you know what? Be still. Be
right,
still
right,
and know
right,
that I'm
right.
God, because
yeah,
came
right,
to mind.
Right,
and
right.
Sometimes I think that being still is just a problem that we have at times. And I know that if we can be still, and as you indicated, letting the Word speak, that can be something that can just really change our attitudes, change how we feel.
Right.
Because there's great power in the Word.
Absolutely. Yeah, there really is.
Yeah.
It really is. It almost, And it may sound almost too simplistic, but it's generally powerful. It really works. You know, I was thinking, let the Bible speak. That would be a good name for like a radio program.
Oh, yeah.
So should
maybe
that.
We should work on that.
We should work on that. Okay. Hey, we got, hi, Christina. Thanks for watching. Oh, I think it's from Jeff, actually. It says, hello from me and Christina, too. Hey, guys, appreciate you guys stepping in. We're having a great conversation looking at God's Word, and we're letting the Bible speak.
Yeah.
We don't want to go too long. We're going to try to keep everything under an hour. We're going to try to cap things. We realize it's, you know, hours kind of a long time to sit and listen. Now, of course, people can come in and out and maybe catch bits and pieces of it. But, of course, we want them, of all things, we want them to hear God's Word. And, you know, if you can catch at least the initial readings we're studying, it helps kind of frame the conversation a little bit. So, but we appreciate you guys coming in. And we love this feed that's working out. It works great. I can see everything right here that they're posting. And that's actually posting to the video as opposed to the app. It's sometimes a little persnickety about posting comments. We now take those comments, we feed them directly into our video. So we see exactly what you're posting. It's a little tricky for us to respond, but we see them in live and they get captured. And that means your wonderful faces and your little avatar pictures are going to be in the video. I hope you were hoping for that because that's what you're getting. So, but hey, bring us home. What are some more thoughts? I know you had some, you've done a lot of homework on this. What are some other topics you want to brush on? What do you want to touch on here?
Well, I know that we can just,
we can go on for the next 3 hours.
Yeah,
right?
We can go on so much, and I don't want to get into too much of a tangent. I don't even remember what tangents are in mathematical terms.
Yeah, right. How many tangents are we off now? It's a third tangent.
Yeah, but
what was our original point again?
Yeah, but I think that maybe a final thought or whatever that maybe people struggle with is, you know what? I go through such a hard time. I mean, people in general, maybe they go through struggles all the time. But I'm glad that Christ, God, addresses that. Hey, lean on me.
I'm not
trying to go toward the song or whatever. But and if you're still,
get it out of my head. Stop it.
But just to kind of maybe wrap us home, because I know some people just encouragement can be feeling as if that's not even a possibility in their life.
Oh,
that
it's
not even feasible with, as you indicated, their maybe the health, the financial aspect. It just seems that nothing is going right.
Everything
is just absolutely is just compounding, and just they feel as if just they're being beat down, and then nothing can bring them up.
Yeah, right.
But I think that I don't mean to be kind of going to that passage of something that can be put on a bumper sticker, but since we were talking about 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. I know that that's kind of a hard pill to swallow for a lot of people. But I think there is also hope there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I wonder how many people have studied this verse and said, I kind of wish God wouldn't think so highly of me. Because I'm not so sure that I'm up to the task, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think the right way to take this is an assurance that God's there.
Yeah.
Even in the darkness, God is still there, right?
Yeah.
And he's still in control. As rough as it gets. And I think a negative way to take that is, I can't possibly do this, right? Why do I have to endure this? I can't. Don't feel alone. God's promise that he's there, right? This is part of his promise for being there for you is, you know, he's on your side, right? He's working on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
So take encouragement from that. Now, we just got a comment. Oh, interesting. So this is from, I think it's actually Jeff. For commuters, audio Bible apps can be used to listen to God's word and pull out the most important parts to meditate on during otherwise non-productive times. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. And one of the reasons that I have, really people have gotten away from CDs. So CDs have not been the same vehicle for communicating that they've been in the past. And forgive me, the silly computer monitors. You're still getting the feed, but the monitor likes to blank out here. I need to fix that. But it's something to think about, and if this is useful for you guys, our show is, we record the audio, and in fact, if there's issues with the audio, I'll try to process it and try to clean that up, because we've had that happen before. And the audio for our program is on our website. Again, it's pretty straightforward. It's letthebiblespeak.faith. That's right there on the video feed. You can see it there. And you can pull it up, and on really any phone, you should be able to, in your web browser, go down to a topic, press it, and it should play in your phone. And so if you've got a connection of maybe Bluetooth, which is my thing, that's why I'm a Bluetooth engineer, if you can connect to your radio, you can listen to our program, but obviously not exclusively ours. I mean, of all things, yes, listen to God's word. And I'll tell you, I'll be candid. I've done that in the past when I've had long commutes, and I find it kind of hard to stay connected, but I've caught myself going, I was distracted, and I'll go back. You know what? I didn't catch that. I'm gonna go back a chapter and listen to it again and make sure I caught it, because I didn't really catch it. But that's a good point, is we can use that time constructively. So, and you can listen to this program and listen to other programs that are better. I mean, if what we're doing doesn't work for you, it's not about us. It's about God's word. So,
yeah.
So anyway. So yeah, maybe a few more minutes.
Well, I think that maybe, I don't know if we can end on this, but I think Psalm 23, where people just may be very well aware about this,
mm-hmm.
probably one of the most, if not the most famous passages of Scripture that
right.
maybe even individuals that have never stepped inside of a church
yeah.
Maybe recognize it.
Right. Right.
David wrote this inspired psalm, and I think it's just honestly beautiful. I know.
Oh, sure.
And I think that this might be a good passage to end on. I think it's full of encouragement. And if you want to read that, it's six verses.
Sure.
And then maybe we can just have a brief just discussion. Because I think this might hopefully just wrap, encapsulate
right,
kind of
right,
the discussion
right.
that we
yeah, good point. Yeah.
that we've been having. And I've really enjoyed this discussion.
Sure.
This is such a very broad topic. It could go in so many different directions.
Sure. Sure.
And hopefully that people will feel encouraged. most importantly,
so. Yeah.
to open up their word or the scripture.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so... Sure. Before I go into another tangent, I'll let you read
okay.
Psalm 23.
Okay, yeah, we are making a hard rule now that we're not gonna go over an hour. So we're flirting with that now. So let's go ahead and, like you say, kind of close it out on some great verses. So this is Psalms 23, some well-known scripture. And again, I'll be reading from the ESV. So, the Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Very, very, very encouraging, obviously.
It's almost, it feels as like if it's missing, just you can say amen after that.
Yeah, right.
So
right.
let it be.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, yeah.
but there's hope there, and he had the most, some of the most darkest times of any individual that have ever lived. If one studies scripture with David.
Sure.
But sometimes we can feel like we're going through the valley of the shadow of death. And we have no hope. And but if we can somehow just hold on to that hope of God's word.
Right.
We can make through anything that may come into our lives or into our past.
Yeah.
If we can look toward God.
Right. And we can have the kind of hope like David had, right?
Yes.
That David had looking to God. And we have an even greater promise. We have an even greater covenant now under the New Testament to give us that encouragement. Now, one of the things I think we should do, I mean, you know, we, I don't know about you, but I don't like hypocrisy. And so one of the things we want to reach out and do is we don't know when we post these things, we don't know who's going to encounter them and where they're going to be. But just heads up, you know, our website is letthebiblespeak.faith. The easiest way to reach us is actually to go out to our Facebook page. Now, not everybody's on Facebook, so we need to be mindful. But if you need encouragement, don't be afraid to reach out to us. And if you're located someplace that we can't readily get to, we can correspond with you, and we can find Christians that will reach out, because Christ's body is everywhere, right? And so there's going to be Christians that would love the chance to try to encourage you wherever you're at. And let's face it, we can be very discouraged, and we want to encourage one another. And so reach out to us if you've got any questions. You're at Taylorsville Road here in Louisville, Kentucky.
I am.
I'm at the Eastland Church of Christ on Bardstown Road here in Kentucky, here in Louisville. And then Scott himself, he's one of the elders, actually, or pastors, over at the Galena Church over in Galena, Indiana. So we're in the greater Louisville area, but we know Christians all around Indianapolis, further deeper into Kentucky. We know Christians, and there's a lot of them out there. Like I say, Christ's body is united, and we want Christ's body to be healthy. And if you're a baptized believer and you're part of Christ's body, we want you as a member of our body, of Christ's body, to be healthy. And so we're extending the invitation. If you need encouragement, let us know. We'll do what we can. We'll reach out to others that can reach out. We practice what we preach. Right. Any closing thoughts?
Well, just to add on to that, I think that even more so, we want to encourage those that do not know Christ or have questions to reach out, and we want to be able to speak with you and do whatever we can to open up the Bible and let it speak. And this is not our words, these are God's words. That's
right,
what we're
exactly.
hoping that we're
exactly.
sending people to. We're
right,
sending people
right.
in God's direction.
Yep.
So
absolutely.
We hopefully that this program that has been beneficial today and that has been encouraging to all that may have been listening or watching, please feel free to share it. And we invite people to open up the word and let it speak.
Amen. All right. Thank you for listening.